Good evening. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll finish up the lesson from this morning that we had from the book of Isaiah. And I like to tell you that this is something that I look back on as what Charles was talking about this morning. We talked about 7, 8 different baptisms this morning in different places throughout Scripture in the Bible. One that really catches your ear is when Philip gets the Ethiopian eunuch, when he has that opportunity to. And what catches my ear about that part of it is for me, this is how I would be to it. So today we're at the park and we're playing at the park, and I'm chasing my granddaughter up and down on the sliding. And I'm being a troll, and she's a troll hunter. And I'm chasing her, and she's chasing me, and she runs off. And she says, "You scared me, Papa." She said, "You're too excited. You need to calm down some, Papa." So that's how I would be if I was Philip in that opportunity, when you got that opportunity. And he says, "Hey, I don't understand this. How can I understand it without your help?" So for all the young people that are here today, understand that you are to be able to help someone. And I thought of Olivia also when we was going through that lesson this morning, because she pulls out a piece of paper and it's got all these different scriptures on there, and she said, "Gene gave this to me." And I said, "Oh yeah?" She said, "Yeah, Gene gave this to me and told me that if I would read these scriptures, I would be able to help someone else to become a Christian." That's good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to be excited about that and want to help. So when you start talking about this stuff, you want to jump up and down. You're like, "What? I get the opportunity to do what?" And another deal, we was at Washington, D.C. I call it Washington, and everybody makes fun of me, but I don't even know how to say it. Washington? Is that how you say it? Washington is the way I say it. But anyway, so we was at Washington, D.C., and we were there, and we're looking at all this stuff, and there's, I just lost track of mine. The ones that come and bring the deals to your house all the time, the notes, and leave them on your cattle guard, Jehovah's Witnesses. They was all over the place at D.C., and they're handing out flyers, and they're talking to everybody, and Wyatt says, "Wonder who they are?" And I said, "I think they're Jehovah's Witnesses." And he's bouncing, and he's like, I hope they come over here. And that's exactly what he looked like. "I hope they come to me." I said, "Why? I don't want them coming over here." He said, "Oh," I said, "I got the scripture back it." He said, "We just learned that in school. Man," he said, "I'm ready." He was fired up. That's the way you are to be to God. That's the way you are to be to Christ all the time. Fired up and ready to jump at any time to say, "Hey," not to fight with somebody about scripture, but to let them know, "This is the truth. You may not understand it right now, but read it later and figure it out for yourself. It's right here." So what we learned this morning, he says, there's water. Why not here? Let's do it right here. Let's get it. No matter what it is. Whatever it is, wherever you're at, when you're ready to become that Christian, you got to be fired up and ready to help someone else. So you're excited about it. So this morning when Charles was talking about all of these baptisms and how great they was, I was fired up about it. I was like, that's good. That's good stuff right there. Baptism is the way to Christ, because he tells us you cannot get to God unless you come through me, which is Christ. So you have to be baptized into Christ to be God's son. That's the way that works for you. So Charles explained that very well. I thought he read the scripture. That's all you have to do is read it, and then someone else has to understand it. They have to say, "Okay." So this morning, Philip, he was like, "I don't understand," or the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "I don't understand it. So how can I? Because nobody has taught me, or nobody that I know understands it. It's interesting to me, but I really don't understand it." So we'll talk about some of that scripture today in chapter 53 of Isaiah. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender suet, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Everyone has someone that they look up to that they think is this You know, growing up, there was wrestlers that I can remember, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a wrestler. And I looked at my mom's house one day, and I was like, what? I was in kindergarten. I'm going to be a professional wrestler. 5'4". Maybe midget wrestling? I don't know. I probably could whoop some of them, but that's what I wanted to be. So I looked up to wrestlers. So I had these few wrestlers that I was like, oh, yeah, they're awesome. Those guys are bad. They was the coolest things you've ever seen. Jesus, just like you and I, he had nothing to make him shine any better than anyone else. So the flies that fly around your head, Glenn, up here that was flying around mine earlier, the same flies that flew around his head. There's nothing spectacular to look at. Just he was a good guy. He was special in his ways because he was able to do whatever. But he wasn't nothing in this form of greatness with big muscles and stood out amongst people where everybody said, ooh, look at that guy. He didn't have to do something to make himself stand out. We don't do things that are spectacular to make ourselves stand out other than be the good people that we possibly can be. And you stand out in that way. Are you better than someone else because of that? No, you don't feel yourself better than someone else. You are Christ-like by the things that you do and how you act and conduct your lives. So, Jesus was this Christ-like image. He came out of nothing, from nowhere. And he was, in verse 3, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. We didn't give him any credit or no nothing that he deserved at all. We give him zero. And being rejected, you can look back to Peter and you can look at that. How Jesus already knew it. He said, you'll deny me 3 times. Now, I'll never deny you, Jesus, because I love you so much. 3 times. He said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. The 3rd time, he cursed his name. He said, so this happens. This takes place. This is Jesus's close friend, right? So he knew Jesus. He was a part of him. So this is taking place with even his closest friends. Isaiah here, he's talking about it. He understands it because he's a prophet and he's been given this to him so that he can write this down so that we're able to understand it as it comes through. And we get up here closer to it, the time it happened, and then we go back and here's the apostle Paul. Here's Luke. All of them writing about this different stuff. Well, yeah, that's what it said back here. It's going to happen. We talked about it this morning. Well, that's what Jesus did. He died on the cross, and he had to go through this rejection, this hatred, this the sorrows, the suffering that he had to go through, the of being rejected and being hated the way that he was. That's hard for me to understand because I'm a person that I like. I want people to like me. If you don't like me, though, that's your loss. And you're missing out on something. So if you don't come and hear Charles preach in the morning, that was your loss, that you missed out on that this morning. Not because if you work or whatever. I'm not saying that you just didn't want to do that or whatever. But if you despise someone in that way and you want to be away from them, that's your loss. Well, all these people that did that to Christ, that was their loss. That was their bad. They messed up by that, and they have that they can't get that back when you lose that part of that. So for us, understanding how he felt is kind of hard for us to go, man, Christ really was that way? People hated him? They despised him? How could you despise a man with that much love and care that he gave that to us? I don't know, because we can't do that, and you guys obviously can't. You care enough about him that you're here and you want to hear his word and you love him that much. You want to sing praises unto him. You didn't sing those songs for yourself, did you, Glenn? You sing praises up to the Lord is what we're doing. Whether, you know, and y'all asked me to sing, and Charles knows it. I'm like, I don't know how to sing, but I'll get up and sing praises to God. I'm not a good singer at all. I've had the kids tell me over here, you ain't a very good singer, Russell. And it's all right, because I say, we're not singing for Russell. We're singing for the Lord, and that's what matters. That's what counts. So It says, like one from who men hide their faces, he was despised and esteemed not. But then in verse 4, it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. So they considered Christ to be something that God just didn't want. God loved Christ, loved him with all sincerity. He loved Christ enough that he showed that through him being able to die, so that all of us have this great opportunity to be a part of that by what Charles said this morning, becoming baptized into Christ, so that you and I and anyone else who chooses to can be one with Christ. That means one with him, not separated from him. See, before that takes place, you're separated from him. Once you become baptized into Christ, you're tied with him. You are a part of Christ after that. And you guys all understand that. Y'all know that. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. So, pierced for our transgressions means what? What happened to Christ? Somebody out there tell me, what happened when he was on the cross? He died on the cross for us, right? He was hung on the cross, right?
He was pierced with a spear.
He was pierced with a spear on the cross, exactly. He was crushed for our sins so that he could take those upon himself. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. Even when we make mistakes and we fall short and we step aside a little bit, we leave Christ over here and we mess up and make that mistake, he's right there ready for us to come back. You come back, it's your choice to come back to him. You get to do that because he died on that cross and covered for all of those sins. We do make mistakes. We do fall short. We was sinners. Not no more. Because he covered that for us. You understand that? Does that make sense, y'all? He covered that for us. And that's what we're taught here. So, like sheep that's gone astray. And you look at this good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. We talked about that a week or two ago. The good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd watches over his sheep. When one sheep goes astray, the good shepherd is here for that one sheep. The other ones are over here kind of by themselves. The good shepherd goes to that sheep and brings it back, puts it back with the flock. And while it's back with the flock, all of them are all together. So did he leave all those other ones in order to save this one? They're all good. They're all together. You're all with Jesus. That one went away. Brought him back. Now they're all back together again. That's what Jesus did for everyone. That's what we got to kind of understand, that how important this is for our livelihoods and how we live our lives. So is it exciting? Oh, yeah, it's exciting. Is it sorrowful to us? Yes. It makes you want to cry when you think about the harm and the hurt that he suffered for us so that we could have this freedom and this gift and this love that we have. So in verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So he went into this willingly, correct? This is exactly what he did. He did ask God, he said, take this burden from me if it be your will, Lord, but I will make you proud because I'm going to do what you wanted me to do. That's what Jesus did for us. So, and we do understand that also. It said, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. If he was stricken, that means that's when he was, they murdered. He was killed. He was hung on the cross. He was crucified for us, for his descendants, for all of those who believed in God and put God first in their lives and didn't falter. That didn't fall away. That's the way it should be put, because sometimes we do falter, but you have that repentance cycle that you're able to go back through, and you're able to come back to Christ. You're able to come back to God with that repentance of understanding that I made a mistake, I messed up. This is what I got to do. There's that fly again, Glenn. He messes with everybody. It's not just you. It's bald-headed people in general that fly goes to.
I was up there one little
fly in the bug of your head. I thought there were two. I think it's just one, boss. I think he was correct there. Verse 9. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich. In his death, though, he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. So, we understand also that Christ did nothing wrong. He didn't do anything that offended anyone, that hurt anyone, that did anything to destroy anyone. He didn't murder anyone. He didn't make anybody feel less of a person. He didn't do anything that was wrong. But yet, he died and he was put into the ground with men that was wicked. He was put in the ground by men that was wicked, by men that some of them turned and became good. They seen that they was wrong and witnessed that. And you just like, well, they had to have. Wasn't all of them, but some of them had to have seen that and know that that's wrong. Because I realized this for myself, because I was back reversed in this role like Paul was in that aspect. Paul was the other way, crucifying the Christians. That's the way I grew up. That's what I was taught. That's what everybody I was around, that's what you're supposed to do. Make fun of all those people. Make fun of them. They're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. You guys knew what you was doing. I was the idiot. I didn't know. Nobody had ever taught me. Nobody had ever stopped and said, hey, have you heard this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Nope. Never heard that before. Had to read that. Read that myself and went, wow, that was pretty cool. Huh. And then found other scriptures and went, huh, that's pretty cool too. But had someone to work with me to say, here's what you need. Look at this. Check this scripture out. See what you think about this. Get back with me in 2 or 3 weeks. See what you say. Okay. That's important for us. So what you did, giving out the scriptures, that's a good thing. That's, everybody should have some of those scriptures that you hold deep and dear to you that you're able to say, hey, do you know about this? They ask you a simple question. I didn't understand so-and-so that was said today. Oh, I can help you with that. Turn it biblical. Wyatt's friend Josh is fixing to go off and try to do the impossible. He always says that. Oh, that's biblical. That's biblical. That means that it is true. When you say amen in the Bible, that's true. It is done. It is right. It is correct. So, that's biblical means it is correct, and that's where we're at with that. Let's look at verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. In verse 11, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. He will take upon himself the sins of all. That happened. That is truth. That is knowledge. That is understanding. That is wisdom. That is wise. That is love. That is care. That is honor. That's what he did for all of us. He bestowed upon himself our sins. So everything that Charles read this morning about being baptized into Christ, all of those people, the first one I think was Acts 2 verse 38 or 39, the 3,000 became members. That was right the first of the church when the church first began. About 3,000 members became baptized that day. That's awesome. If we have one baptism a year, we feel really good about it. If we have two baptisms a year, we're really blessed, it seems like. We're not pulling in as many Christians as it seems like we're losing every year. So we need to understand how important this is and have this scripture close to us. We talked about that fire being built up and fired up and ready to go. No matter if you're 5 years old and you understand it, or if you're 80 years old and you understand it. If you can still got a little bounce in your step, a little joy in your heart, a little love, a little care, jump for that chance to get that opportunity to tell someone about who we're talking about here, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We'll just finish up the rest of it here, verse 12. I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life until death and was numbered with the transgressors. Before he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isn't it something special to have someone to intercede for you? See, my kids, when they're growing up, I've taught them always, stand up for yourself because nobody else will stand up for you. Stand up for yourself in your jobs, in your life, what you do, because you're always going to have that part where nobody's going to come and help you. Stand up for yourselves. Be the man that you need to be. Stand up for Christ because He is our livelihood. He is our interceder. He intercedes for you. But whatever you're doing, wherever you're at in your life, He's the one that's in between us and evil, keeping us from the things that we shouldn't be from, helping us to get through our troubles, helping us to overcome things that bother us, helping us, fighting with us. That intercession is what Christ is for us. And that's what the whole scripture here is talking about, is his death and his burial and his resurrection, of him dying and loving and caring for us. Now, if you turn over, we can finish up here in Galatians in chapter 2. We'll read a little bit in chapter 2, and then we'll read a little bit in chapter 3. And I apologize to y'all. I didn't have the lesson today. I had a miscommunication, and if this lesson wasn't what it seems to be, I apologize to y'all for that. But any time that you have an opportunity to bring forth a lesson, jump for it. Don't hesitate. Charles once told me, he said, all you got to do is open up John and just read John. If somebody asks you to teach or preach or whatever, read John. Just jump in there and read it. You got a lesson right there. And you do. Anything that you possibly need, you have that. So I was looking at what Charles had talked about this morning. I was like, well, I think this would be great to go into this and just go right to that aspect and talk about that and bring that forth because of what he did for us. So I hope it was fulfilling to y'all that was here this morning, and also to those that wasn't here. So hopefully y'all understand kind of what he talked about this morning if you wasn't able to make it here. We'll finish up in chapter 2 in Galatians in verse 20. This is very important for us to understand. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Y'all realize that? Christ lives in you. The life in I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's exactly what we just read about in Isaiah. He loved us enough that he gave himself for us. So, if I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Christ didn't die for nothing because you're something. Remember, you stand up for Christ. Be that person that stands up for Christ because Christ stood up for you. He stood up for me and he stood up for anyone and everyone. All you have to be is willing to accept him into your life and become baptized into him. To have that feeling right here that I've been crucified with Christ. So you died with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. So that means you died to all of that old stuff. You're not a sinner no more. You don't do that no more. Because Christ covered those sins for you. We talked about in class last week, we talked about it was in Exodus. I cannot remember the chapter. Where the firstborn was murdered. They was killed. God come over and he said, you put this blood from this year old goat or lamb over your door frames, and then you must cook it the certain way and you must eat it the certain way. That's what Christ is to us. So everybody that was inside this house that had the blood over the door frames and down the side of it, That is the covering of blood that Christ has for us. The doorway is Christ. You're able to go into Christ through the covering of this blood from the old scripture. We have that because He died and gave that to us. That's really neat to understand that and believe that and feel that. Listen to this. Through that blood that's covered, so you are inside of this door frame, inside of this door, you're inside of that because you are Christ's children. You are sons of God. In chapter 3, verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You're covered by Christ. That's something that you should always remember. That's a scripture that anyone can remember. You, if you've been baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. Remember that as we leave here today, as we go out into the world, you see somebody that needs that little bump, little touch, little nudge. Like Travis said, there was four baptisms that they had in Honduras, a couple of restorations. 13-hour days, he said, he spent walking around. And I know that that's, what, 2 weeks, I guess, about a two-week span, probably, 10, 11 days, something like that. Joyful. And I utilized you last week while you was gone. I said that, you know, this guy takes his vacation to spread the gospel. That's pretty cool to do that. And so that's how I know that you never leave God, that God is with you. And we should have that same deal no matter where we're at, anytime, anywhere, we should be there ready. As Wyatt was bouncing up and down, and he was fired up and he was ready. Stay fired up and always ready to fight for Christ. Anybody needs anything at all, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that